Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. It's great to be together. Wonderful to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. But before we turn to the Word of God, let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your Word, which is rich and true, and we do pray that You would bless it to us. By Your Holy Spirit, illuminate it to our very eyes, that we might see and behold wondrous things in Your law. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, picking up at verse 12. For just as the body is one, and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. Well, Paul's just about to start really getting into the nuts and bolts of what it means to be the family of God, what it means to be the body of Christ, what it means for us to use the various gifts that we've been given for the sake of the people of God. And so as we get to that, what we're going to see is that Paul is going to use this imagery of a body really strongly to drive home his point. In order for us to be able to really lay hold of Paul's points as we move forward, we need to just pause briefly here in verse 12 and 13 and consider, I guess, the foundation for what Paul's about to say. Firstly, we need to think about this illustration that he's using. It's probably pretty clear to us, but in verse 12, Paul picks up the imagery of our own bodies. Now, maybe you've never thought about it before, but you don't have two bodies. You only have one. In fact, you don't have 37, but just one. Even though you've got 10 fingers, maybe, and 10 toes, I assume, you only have one body. You don't have 20 bodies. And that's what Paul says, isn't it? Verse 12, pretty straightforward. Just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body. In other words, yes, you have 10 fingers, 10 toes, 2 shoulders, 2 knees, assuming a head, everything else. You've got all these different members or parts. You have one body. Now, that's a foundational principle or illustration or image that Paul is going to use and lean on in order to drive his meaning throughout this chapter. Now, the reason I explain that is not because it's hard to understand, but because it's vital to understand. If we don't keep our head firmly rooted in the picture at play here, we're likely to miss the point of what Paul's saying. So firstly, we must lay hold of the imagery that Paul is going to use. Secondly, the next question we have to consider, foundational question here, is who is Paul talking to? Is Paul thinking primarily here of the local church in Corinth, or is he thinking of the wider body of Christ? Is Paul thinking about the invisible church or the local church? Is he thinking about everybody that attends on a Sunday, for lack of a better term, or those who are true believers? Well, given the rest of the letter, if you think about the earlier chapters we looked at when we thought about sexual adultery and that weird situation with that guy who was sleeping with his stepmother, I think it's best for us to understand that Paul is addressing the local church, and in the forefront of his mind is the local body of Christ and not the church globally. Although what we see in these chapters is true for the universal church, for the invisible church, for the global church, I think we're best off understanding and interpreting Paul as addressing only the local believers. And so when he says the body is one, so it is with Christ, He's not thinking Christ's body from here to Africa, but he's thinking Christ's particular body found in Corinth. And that's important because it's going to affect how you apply the passage to yourself as you work through chapter 12. So it's really significant that we lay hold of that. So firstly, we're using this imagery of a human body. Secondly, we're thinking primarily about the local gathered body of Christ. And then thirdly, notice how this body of Christ is knit together. Yes, we saw last week that the Spirit is the one who gives gifts, but notice how this body comes together. Verse 13, in one Spirit, so this is Paul's reason of why there's one body of Christ in Corinth as it gathers together and as it functions together. For, verse 13, in one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. So what's Paul talking about here in this baptism and Spirit and drinking? These are all words talking about the same reality. And that is, he's not talking about what style of baptism you received. He's not thinking about what church style of leadership you come under. He's talking about salvation. He's talking about regeneration. He's talking about you being brought into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the way that God grafts the church together by his Holy Spirit. He's talking about union with Christ. How are we united to Christ and therefore united to one another? It's by the indwelling of the Spirit of God. The reason you can call a complete stranger coming into your church as a believer your brother is not because you like each other, though you might. The reason you can look at a person in church, just picture yourself, you join a new church, you get saved into a church. Let's use that as an illustration. Then you look around this room and everyone comes up to you and they say, welcome to our family, brother. Why can they say that? Because you have the same Spirit. Now, this is vital. He doesn't say, because you've been baptized by a bunch of different spirits, or a whole lot of spirits, but one Spirit. The same Spirit of who? Christ is indwelling every believer. And so every believer shares the same Spirit, and so every believer is in the same body. Do you see how this works? And do you see why this is important? Maybe not. The reason this is important is because it motivates and drives everything Paul is going to say about the way we function in the body of Christ. This is why it's such a horrendous thing when believers don't love one another, when believers despise one another or reject one another or malign one another. Because at the same time, we're maligning and hating the Spirit of God who's inside the believer. Or I should say, in the believer. Do you get what I'm saying? You see, when I see a brother or sister at church, someone who's been baptized in the Spirit, someone who has been saved by Christ, someone who has been welcomed into the household of God, whether they're a Jew or a Greek, whether they're Chinese or Kenyan, whether they're a New Zealander or an Australian, whether they're a male or a female, and no, there's no other options, I see Christ. Why? Because the Spirit of Christ is inside of them. That's a motivation to go out of my way to love the unlovable and the lovable, right? Yes, even those who I don't get along with very well. Because the Spirit of Christ's inside of them. And we're going to see that principle play out through the next couple of chapters. But we're going to have to wait to do that. So let's pray. Father in heaven, We thank you for this pest. Thank you for this foundation that Paul is laying for us. And we ask that you would help us to lay hold of this foundation and to walk upon it and to apply the scriptures from it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks very much for joining me for another day. I'll see you back here, Lord willing, tomorrow afternoon.